This podcast episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I am Bart Winkler. Grant Bills alongside. Paul Engmig is here. It's our weekly edition of couple of things off the top. It is not a random Tuesday. It is Winko de Mayo, something I always beat into the ground, which nobody seems to think is funny besides me. Also, Grant is eating a burger. Is that a Quick Trip burger?
Pulled pork.
I want to welcome Carlos Ortiz into he's already in the Winklerverse, but he's finally crossed the Rubicon of eating lunch on camera, which he did yesterday with a delicious meal from Wendy's, it appeared. And also, on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, I am wearing a bright yellow shirt, and that is for one particular reason. I just drive all over the place, and I'm always in construction, so I might as well fit in. And now I just go and pull over at the side of the road with my yellow shirt, knock over cones. I saw this boss move today, for real. There was a waste management truck that like got stuck because there was all these cones. So it just moved its garbage collector thing and like plowed seven of them over and just get like, even they're fucking sick of this shit. It's everywhere. How are you boys?
It'll be done by next spring. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm no longer able to hear the word cone without it being preceded in my head by roller.
Can I share a very small fun cone roller factoid? So
That's why people are here.
He called my show last night to congratulate Chuck Freeman on the Packers signing a backup quarterback. He said, I'm happy for Chuck.
Yes.
I cut that sound and I used it as a bumper when I had Chuck on the show today and said, that's cone roller last night. Chuck, we were all thinking of you. And he goes, I was thinking of me. I was happy. And then he called him. He's like, that was very nice of Pine Roller. And then I laughed. And I think he corrected himself and then said cone roller and then asked, is that that's not derogatory, is it? Like, what are we saying? And I'm like, so
pine roller derby roller.
Which sounds, I think cone roller is like you're rolling a joint, but pine roller sounds like the exact same. Let's roll up some pine. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but that's a Boy Scout thing, isn't it?
Like Pinewood Derby.
Yeah. That must be what he's thinking of. Do they still do Boy Scouts?
Yeah, well, they do Scouts.
Cub Scouts.
I remember growing up, like half the school wore fucking Boy Scouts jerseys or whatever. And I don't see any of those anymore when I'm, you know, doing pickup.
I think when we were younger, it was more in vogue for our parents to be like, you're doing this thing. I'm not even really asking you. And if you won't do this thing, then you're going to do this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My wife has been like, why do you always ask him if he wants to do something? Just sign him up and do it.
Yep.
Yep. I'm like, sir, there's a free soccer camp next week. It's only 1 hour. It's at the park. Your friends are going. Do you want to do it, sir? And he's like, no. And I'm like, all right, I'll ask you again in a few minutes to see if you change your precious little mind.
Sorry for inconveniencing you. But yeah, it used to be like, you're doing this. My mom, I was a three-sport high school
athlete. I did fucking gymnastics via that fucking thing.
My mom wanted me to do science Olympiad. I was a three-sport athlete. She's like, you need to be involved. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, first of all, me and science Olympiad. But now these kids, they just go home and they sit on their iPads. They play their video games.
We instituted a 60 minutes a day electronics. And it's weeded out. Nintendo DS, he hasn't picked that up in a month. He hasn't picked up his tablet in a month. But now, because all he wants to do is play Royal Rumbles on WWE 2K26.
What console?
And I have to play with him. PS5.
Why are we not friends on PlayStation? I mean, I don't play it, but we should still be friends. Whatever. Continue.
I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know how to do any of the fucking web stuff on there. I don't know how to connect. I'm always getting disconnected. I can't download shit. I can't play online.
I am legit struggling to turn on NBA games on a nightly basis. I go to a streamer to see if it's there, and I think it's not. And then I go look elsewhere, and it's not there. I'm like, wait, did I miss it? So I'm like circling. Like when you're looking for something in your house that's lost, and you check the bathroom, and then you go to the bed. It's like, wait, but is it in the bathroom? So you're like circling back. It's exhausting. And I'm 28. I'm not that old.
I turned on Prime when a game was on Peacock, and then these games being at the same time. There was 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or however many years where Fox had all the playoffs for MLB, the entirety. And what they would do is put NLCS game one on Fox, ALCS game one on FX at the same fucking time. And people were incensed. And now they're doing it here, and people are just like, well, I guess you got to figure it out. Because we've been beaten down as a TV viewing society.
It's 2026, Bart. It's just the way of the world.
Yeah, we've beaten people down. We've all submitted to the horrors of this world. Anyway.
Paul thinks we're both idiots for this. Like, I figured this out easily.
So Paul doesn't watch anything live. I don't even think he's watched the Super Bowl yet.
That's true.
Which year?
Just the recent one. Wait till you find out what happens with Mike Vrabel.
I will say I've had a couple moments where watching on delay the way I do, I'll type in like no spoilers, but what platform are the NBA games on tonight? Otherwise you're left. You'll turn one on and it'll say like, all right, it's 99.90. I'm like, well, I wanted to fucking watch that.
And no series right now has any congruity to it or continuity.
No.
It's like, all right, Knicks Sixers on NBC, then on Prime, then on ESPN.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I agree. It's terrible.
Yeah, I feel like we have crossed, like, but what does bitching about it do?
Nothing. They don't care. They don't care about us.
No.
It's a big club, and we're not in it. Just go home and turn on your screen and bounce between applications.
Deal with it.
Give us your money. Give us your subscriptions. You can't buy anything. Pay your taxes. Be a part of the ecosystem.
And be happy about it.
Enjoy the Winklerverse. Doom and Gloom fucking podcast.
Grant, how much did you brought this one up in our chat late last week, and I obsessed over it. Did you do your Linsanity topic?
It never came up.
Okay.
I made a whole list and everything, and it just never – sometimes you plan to do something on a show.
Never came up.
And then the show flies by, and you have other things to talk about, and it just never happened. I could do it tomorrow.
Well, we're going to do it today. I'm even kind of glad that you didn't, because you set me off on a three-hour adventure last Thursday night or whatever it was. All right. Grant's question was,
you know, you could watch games live if you didn't do things like that.
No, that's
not time to just watch a sporting event if you didn't do things like that.
No, that's a simultaneous type of that happens during.
Okay.
The problem is my night doesn't start to watch anything until 8:30, give or take. All right. Grant's question was the top five most Linsanity moments of recent Wisconsin sports. So,
how about him, though? Jeremy Lin. How good was he, really? A month good? Was it even that long?
It was about a
month. When are we going to be able to stop saying Linsanity without a qualifier of what we're saying?
In Wisconsin sports market? Like, I still think people listening to this podcast know. I think if you were doing, like, the statewide Bill Michaels network, you probably can have a view to explain a little bit more. This is a vaster, more... different audience, right?
What does that mean? What are you saying?
I'm saying there's more people, so you have a less likely chance. You know exactly
what.
Yeah.
Audience fragmentation, Bart.
Thank you.
You didn't learn about that at one of the many sports radio workshops you've attended over the years, put on by professionals?
It was just Rich certainly telling me how much my fucking career decisions are stupid.
So I think there's a lot of different ways that not only was it my deep dive, but then group chat with three other buddies when I was trying to see, like, okay, if we do this on Tuesday.
You know what? I'm not sure I like that you have a JV league, by the way.
It's not that. It's everything, but I do test with them, and I'm like, and yeah, it actually got very contentious, which was really fun.
Paul has like, the minor AAA for the Winkleverse.
Where at a certain point, I'm like, wait, why am I actually mad at my friend about this? And we're just arguing.
Although this used to be AAA for my national show, so.
Yeah, now, but now we're up in the big leagues.
Yeah, now it's not the only game in town for me.
Better up. Okay, so I think there's a couple different ways you can take it. So Jeremy Lin had the incredible run, but then I think what gets lost is that he had like a 9-year post-Knicks career that was perfectly serviceable. So as I'm thinking through, so who came out of nowhere? Jeremy Lin came out of nowhere, had an unbelievable stretch, and then was nowhere near that afterward, but still kept playing.
Did a second pulled pork just hit Grant Tower?
Oh.
Yes. He did play for a long time.
He did. He was runner-up for sixth man of the year, 3 years after Lin's sanity, but he was never like that again. So part of what I want to debate and try to come up with a top five list of recent Wisconsin sports Lin sanity players, moments, I don't know exactly how to qualify it, does the lore of Lin sanity, like the fact that it took over sports with the sports world. So now you're taking like the Wisconsin lens. And so to what degree did this player's run take over the lexicon of everything? So we should talk through several of them.
I also want to say that I did a thing for a journalism class today.
Today?
On Zoom.
Well, you say more.
I recorded with some guy.
Okay.
And he's going to air it. And one of the things I told him was this topic. I said, we had this kind of topic come up, and this is why, I can't, be an accountant in Milwaukee and then go be an accountant in Cleveland.
Right. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Because if I can't just go to sports radio in Cleveland, this comes up and I just have to punt it.
Sure.
And I know that some people have done it, but you're always going to be viewed as a fraud, or you're never going to be viewed. And it may have, the longer you're somewhere, I guess there's not people that have moved to Milwaukee when they're 20, sure, covered the league for 30 years. Okay. But I can't just reach out to an affiliate and be like, hey, I want to come work for you in Sacramento and just Google shit as we're having conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't do this topic as a transplanted, sports person. You got to kind of be, you got to have to kind of live through it to some degree. So I'll tell you some names that didn't make my list, and I'll tell you why. And you guys should name some too. So I think Jeff Janis had a Lin sanity game, playoff game against Arizona. He came out of nowhere, seventh round pick. I don't think he lasted long enough afterward. It was very quick, came and went. So I didn't use him.
Wasn't there a buildup of Janis before that happened, though?
I mean, he had the lore. So Jeff Janis hits the lore, right? So the degree to which...
Oh, was it a real lore, or was it like a tongue-in-cheek lore?
He was Mr. August.
He was a Mr. August. He was a training camp hero.
I don't want to reveal the magician's secrets, but I never actually thought he was good.
But he had the type of single game in the playoffs that very few, even good NFL players, will ever have in their career.
Okay.
So I didn't include him because it was really, truly one and done. I really went down the Keston Hira path because his rookie stats when he came up before getting kind of, I think, destroyed with David Stearns and his up and down of Keston Hira.
It was more on council.
Maybe that too. But he literally did get sent demoted twice during a rookie of the year.
Two of them conspired to ruin his career and they got away with it.
Yeah.
But Keston Hira was a first round pick. So
okay,
you can still come out of nowhere, but I think he's being a first, I think it was the 10th pick or something, really high. And then he really, truly faded and, kind of, so they're not in my top 10. I'll tell you what I think my final list is. And this is,
is this the Imig meter? Do you want sound effects?
If you've got it. Number five.
Okay, everyone here.
Big thanks to our sponsor, BetterHelp, for partnering with us for this important conversation about mental health. This is Steve Smith here, former NFL wide receiver and host of the 89 Show on YouTube. So having a counselor and working with BetterHelp, that gives you an opportunity to really start to unpack. But people don't understand, when you unpack things, you also open up a box that you're not always sure what's inside. So I think that's why seeing a professional is extremely important. If you need someone to open up to, visit BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/89 to get started.
There are debates, there are hot takes, there are strong opinions, but in the quest for the truth, there is only one way to get the final say. It's time to fire up the Bartometer.
All right, give me your 10. You put them in a list?
I put them in a list.
Okay.
I'm just going to do...
You don't want to hear the sound effect all 10 times. Is that too much?
I'll do 8. How about 8? Do you want 6? At number 6, honorable mention, we have James Starks. It's going to be the top 5. He can be honorable mention in number 6. James Starks, 6th round pick, came out of nowhere, still had... stuck around the Packers for, what, another 4 years afterward? But went from nobody in his rookie year, 6th-round pick, to being a playoff hero.
Well, he was in the Super Bowl intro.
Oh. Yeah. Remember? True.
Yeah.
So I have him. I have him, and then I have number 5. You guys guilted me in. Because I think you're right. Sam Congato. I have it number 5.
He's one, Paul.
That's an incredible. No, he's not one, but he should be.
Absolutely one.
No, he's
I'm gonna tell you why, I'll tell you why he's not. That Packers season was nothing. They were 4-12.
And he gave you a reason to watch every week.
Casual.
I guess.
Was that 05 when we thought Favre was retiring?
What do you think, Sam?
Because I went to that final game against the Seahawks. I think Sean Alexander had 4 touchdowns.
So Sam Congato, after that season, he literally, in his total, never had 1,000 career rushing yards.
Did he go to Houston for a bit? For a spell?
He had.
For a cup of Joe?
He had 6 games with Houston. But like his total career was less than 1,000 yards rushing. I just
interesting
don't think,
framing. Interesting framing.
That's. I mean, you have to be better than that. I think.
But nobody on this list came out of nowhere as much as he did.
I'll hear you out there, Paul.
So the two reasons I have him lower than I think you guys do, and that maybe some people do. My argument would be a 4-12, completely nothing season, and then he was. He didn't have 1,000 career rushing yards, and his career was over pretty quickly thereafter.
Wrong button.
So I have lower than consensus. All right, go ahead.
Humor.
Hit the button.
Oops.
This guy's stranded on Gordon too long.
Man on the air is the man on the controls.
At number 4, I have Brandon Jennings. I'm a little bit on the fence because being like the 10th or 11th overall pick, a la Keston Hira, but I think it was his 7th NBA game ever.
Well, the hype started right away because I remember at the draft, he came out on stage like 3 players too late.
Yeah, right.
He got drafted and he never came out on stage, and then he just kind of wandered. He just kind of wandered on there later and was like, "Hey, everyone."
See, and Brandon Jennings also had like there were literally 12:50 a.m. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer led post-game Buck shows that talked about how Brandon Jennings just built the Bucks a new arena. Like that was the degree to which Brandon Jennings in that first month, especially, but throughout his rookie year in general, was a phenomenal. Like he was a phenom. He was phenomenal. And then of course the double nickel game, there were the double nickel shirts after his 55. Grant, they didn't have the kid size 5T. So you probably don't remember that shirt.
How old do you think I am?
Okay, to be fair, you were what, 11 in 2008?
I was 10, but F off.
So thought you were 40. I said, no way in hell does that person look 40.
So I think Brandon Jennings had the lore. I think he had a career that kept going. He didn't like completely go away. They got a great haul for him in the trade to Detroit. I think that was the Chris Middleton trade, all packaged up. So
Chris Middleton was throwing in the deal.
Let me have a counter.
He was.
Brandon Jennings recently tweeted, I'm about to pull up to Milwaukee. Should I catch a Brewers game?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the Brewers obviously are like, so they get him to throw out the first pitch at a Brewers game.
Yeah.
Could Jeremy Lin pull that off? I'm about to pull up to New York. Should I catch a Knicks game? Should I catch a Yankees game? And I don't think so.
That's not difference in athlete. That's difference in market, though. That's, you know.
I also think from a lore
perspective. I got an idea.
I also think from a lore perspective, Bucks and Six always, that's for the culture.
Yep.
Is all
but
part
see,
of
that's the- standing the test of time. Jeremy Lin is just a memory fading.
No, but we're still calling it Linsanity, and we're not unique in that.
Because his name rhymes with insanity.
I understand, but it still sticks with like Bucks in Six. I mean, like, I don't know.
I use Linsanity as evidenced by the segment to describe other players who do.
But if Jeremy Lin's name was Jeremy Thompson.
I would also argue that the fact that his
right,
name.
Yeah, we know. Right. Okay. We all know.
Well, it's not wrong to say it. It's just.
I know, but.
Brandon Jennings, number four.
Of course. That was like the main reason. But
yeah.
Still.
Correct. I didn't know they could do that. Push the button.
Yeah, really. Like, run the board. Let's go. Number three, I have Matt Flynn.
Good.
Matt Flynn. Game, Flynny.
Seventh round pick. Comes out of nowhere.
Why don't we call it Flynn Sanity?
Ooh.
See ya. I'm out. See ya. Hey, everybody.
Why didn't we?
Good question. Bart has left. I think we should wait for him, but let's just give him time.
Did no one ever call it Flynn Sanity?
Over here. What?
Did no one ever call it Flynn Sanity?
I don't think so.
So I covered that game.
Missed by us.
I covered that game in the press box.
Oh, we were young.
And my headline didn't have Flynn Sanity and even a
what
rewrite.
Flynn to win.
Flynn to win.
Flynn loser draw. Six shooter Matt Flynn.
Seventh round pick has an incredible game. Literally makes $10 million off that one game. It's supposed to be Seattle's starter the next year, but Russell Wilson is drafted. But he's still, Matt Flynn then carved out a career out of one incredible, you know, because like one NFL game equals five NBA games, right, in the grand scheme of 82 versus 16 NFL games at the time. So I have Matt Flynn, number three.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yep.
He's sleeping at the wheel here. Number two, I have Jesus Aguilar. Number two, he was a waiver claim. After Eric Thames had his breakout season, Aguilar beat out Thames. In June or July, he had 10 home runs in a single month. The next month after, no, actually, you know, here, June, 10 home runs, July, 12 home runs. And even within that, I'll even be a Bart kind of guy, and I'll mention batting average for both. 307 and 313, respectively, in those 2 months, batting average, while hitting 10 and 12 home runs, respectively. There was a period of time there where going to Brewers games, like, Aguilar's up. Like, I went to two or three games in that two-month stretch where it was, like, a marquee event that Jesus Aguilar was coming up to bat. I have him at number two.
I would also just say, like, he bounced around a little bit, but he was, like, decent on the Marlins.
Yeah.
He's a decent ball player. It's not like he's a shit ball player who had an amazing half of a season. He was a decent ball player who had an all-star year.
Yeah.
What if Miz's career ended? Would he be on this list?
Yes, I think he would.
No, because then I think it would just be, well,
that game where we found out 36 hours before that it was going to be Skeens and Miz on a Thursday, and the whole town was able to get there. And then he was an all-star after five games.
Well, and Miz has the lore aspect of that down, right? For sure.
Yeah. You ready for number one?
Number one?
God, I have no idea. I have one idea who it could be.
This is the right answer, I hope.
Oh, thank you. That's it. Bart. There. Number one is Eric Thames.
Yes.
That start, April 2017, he was the best hitter in baseball. And it was beyond the lore because you had the walk-up song with Eric. You're gonna da-da-da, Eric. It was amazing. He was getting piss tested after every game, and it was a thing. I mean, he came out of nowhere. He literally had come from Korean baseball to be the best hitter in baseball in the major leagues.
Oh, yeah. They also announced his signing, and he just popped up like out of the. They're like, oh, the Brewers are getting this guy. And then they just had a press conference like an hour later.
Yeah.
11 home runs in the month of April, March.
And then I don't know, like, I remember specifically too, his like against the Cincinnati Reds that year was like, you couldn't.
The only Reds brewer to ever turn me down for a one-on-one interview in the clubhouse. And he did it twice.
Really? Was it during his like Linsanity stretch?
I should hope so.
One might have been. One might have been as he was a falling star.
So then his 2018 Thames was really bad. He lost the job to Jesus Aguilar. But then Thames came back and was not April 2017 Eric Thames, but he was a good like two-win, two-war player in 2019.
Oh, I'm way off on the year that Gatto played, by the way.
2005.
No, 2000 and... oh, yeah, okay. You're right. No, it's I disagree wholeheartedly. I think the number one answer is Sam Congato.
Sam Congato never went on Korean television to do The Masked Singer. Have you guys ever seen
Sam Congato had 4 100-yard games. Sam Congato had 6 games with 6 touchdowns, like in a 6-game stretch, including a 2-pack. He had 171 yards and a score against Detroit in an overtime win. He also had a receiving touchdown.
My case for him also in the lore department would be like some of like the Ingato we trust. You know, there was some lore with all of that.
Now, here would be, and you guys can, you know, drop it in the comments. CC Sabathia.
Too good previous and post to be. It was an unbelievable stretch.
Right, he's a Hall of Famer. They're finally honoring him at the stadium this weekend. I can't believe they're going to have him back to honor him, and they're going to wear those fucking supper club jerseys. What a disgrace. And I know he's a Hall of, like, but no one has ever had a stranglehold in that finite amount of time as CC Sabathia did.
Well, that
it was much.
He didn't pull a Linsanity. He pulled a Sabathia. That's, I don't know. Like, that's almost a different thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But okay. Yeah, you're right.
Well, who else has done that? Fuck.
Who else? What's the closest to pulling a Sabathia?
Wow.
Greg Monroe?
Definitely not.
I think the answer is by far and away Sam Congato. And to put Eric Thames at number one and Jesus Aguilar at two is a severe Brewer slant by you, in my opinion.
I think Gatto's two, Thames is one. He came from fucking Korea.
Yeah.
You know, like, Gatto should be two. Did you have him at five?
I did.
Dirty work, Paul.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So what do you think, though, about the argument, though, that the team was useless?
Thames pulled a Gatto is what he did. Thames pulled a Gatto.
Ooh.
Aguilar, because Gatto was first. Aguilar, honestly, I forgot he existed when you brought his name up the other day.
Wow, he was good in the first half of 2018.
Oh, I'm saying, but I think that I speak for the common fan.
Great two-strike hitter. Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so is there anybody I didn't name that should be nominated and mentioned for discussion? I'll mention two. I don't think Malik Willis belongs in the list, but probably deserves like a mention. No. I think Frank Kaminsky can be mentioned.
I think this is
lowly recruited, didn't play as a freshman, was outstanding to the national championship game by his senior year, gets drafted in the top 10 in the NBA draft. I'm not putting him in, but I think he deserves a mention. Anybody else that's not been mentioned?
I think the mere suggestion.
I put Keeper Sykes Green Bay run over Frank Kaminsky.
The mere suggestion that Kaminsky should be involved anywhere near this conversation is deeply offensive to me.
Wisconsin sports, to be honest.
I'm not trying to get any Badgers in. I could give a shit, so that's fine with me.
I mean, Decker had more of a insanity. Johnny Davis had more of a insanity run.
Zach Showalter did.
Not.
Bronson Koenig had more of a insanity run.
No. Koenig was an outstanding four-year player. Johnny Davis is probably the closest. Johnny Davis is the closest thing to a insanity run that the Badgers have had. Which pains me to say, but he sucked shit in the NBA.
quick advertising note. Please go buy a golf simulator right now. Carl's Place in the link. They bring it. Buy it right now. Like right this fucking second. Or we're not going to do another show.
Was there a golfer with a insanity run?
Well, who do we have? Jerry Kelly and Steve Stricker.
Who's this female golfer that went on McAfee and talked about the Packers?
Kelly Norda.
Kelly Norda. Also, the fact that the Packers quote tweeted that the way that they did kind of gave me the ick.
Very much so.
It was a Radio Joe coded tweet, and I love Radio Joe, but that's how Radio Joe tweets. Short stanzas of text with strong punctuation. I didn't like it.
Also, I don't need the Green Bay Packers trying to suck up to Pat McAfee.
No. I don't need them tweeting anything that's not the graphic.
Even if the LPGA did it, I'd be like, but when we have the Green Bay Packers.
Grant, I know you're top two. You want to finish out your top five?
Wasn't prepared for this.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't tell me we were doing this
today. I didn't know we were doing this today.
Really random player, but Brian Hudson probably belongs on here. He was like the most dominant reliever in baseball and then not rostered at the end of the year.
If there's going to be a reliever, it's got to be Turnbow or Axford. Dan Kolb. Or
Axford.
He did for a full year, though.
But we had a run of the, like, Turnbow could be on this list. And then he had the hair.
Yep.
Yeah, does there need to be a gimmick to it?
I think there needs to be lore to it. So, like, did we mention Niger Morgan in this?
Morgan, I think, can get some consideration.
I mean, he's filled with lore.
Yeah, but it's not like he was good. He just had, like, a nice hit.
But that's not fair.
I'm not a fair judge of talent. That's why I'm so bad at it. That's why.
Round out, just it doesn't be in order, but round out your top five. So Grant has Thames and Gatto. Bart has Gatto.
Thames, Gatto, Aguilar probably, but he would be lower down. I mean, I never finished a full top five. So
Jonathan Scope.
One grand slam off Madison Bumgarner. It was an individual at bat insanity run. That's all that it was. Another shit trade by David Stearns, by the way.
Yeah, he's really getting raked over the coals in New York.
Yeah. All right, anything else on this? Or move on.
We can progress.
Only one round two NBA playoff series goes seven games. That series is Spurs Wolves. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Admittedly, I only caught the highlights because I went to bed at 9 last night. And also it was on a streamer, so God for fucking bid. I was surprised the T-Wolves won. I'm surprised Edwards is back.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench to start.
Was that result, Paul, more about the Wolves being amazing or the Spurs maybe not being quite as ready as everyone thinks?
Or could two things be true?
Both things can be true. Maybe the Spurs flashy court and color aligned t-shirts for the fans was just too much.
I agree. Knicks Sixers.
That's going five.
Yeah. Mostly because I don't think Embiid's going to make it. And I don't think Paul George is going to make it. I don't think a lot of those players are going to make it. And they just got blasted in the first game.
Well, and you try to turn around, what was it, like less than 48 hours after that series that you come back 3-1 against Boston. You're spent. And you might have used all your physical and emotional energy getting to that point. And I mean, that's the good thing about cleaning up in the first round is you don't have to, you know, you're the seventh seed like Philly is. You have to, you're going to be Boston. It's going to take seven. Like, that's the deal. But now you're probably burnt. That
one,
probably
Jaylen Brown hopping on that stream the next night. I don't think we let that go. I always thought like, oh, these players need to give exit interviews and why do they run away? And I think I'd prefer it. I don't like you jumping on a stream the next day with the weirdest framing of a room ever. And then four of your sunglasses crew coworkers join you from Sunglasses Hut. What was he doing? What was the point?
I want my star athlete in that moment to think, this is embarrassing for me. Wait a sec. Before I go live, I'm embarrassed to be doing this.
Like, if you make a big fuck up like Giannis just off the tongue, like, I didn't fail. Well, obviously, you did fail, Giannis. Come on. But yeah, it was the press conference. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
And only I hold him really accountable to that because that only bothered me, I seem to think. But Jaylen Brown, I thought it was a joke at first. I thought it was like if somebody AI'd it. And now, you know what? That's getting, I've reached my fucking limit with that. Because now I don't, now I fucking triple check everything. I see any news or video. Is this AI? It's like every goddamn day is April Fool's now in this fucking world because everything's fucking AI.
Was the video of the two woodchucks getting their nails clipped, was that AI? Do you guys know the video I'm talking about?
No.
Never mind. Useless.
I'm so goddamn tired. I did watch an AI today of Aaron Rodgers if he was born in other countries.
What does that mean?
What?
What does it mean? It means exactly what you think it means.
It would be if
Aaron Rodriguez, Arnaud Roger, if he was French, our own Ruggieri, if he was Italian.
All of these play.
Yeah. Then it gets a little, I don't think I want to be a part of it. Some of these other countries, it gets a little borderline, you know.
Well, just so you know, that's not AI. Rodgers did that photo shoot.
Yeah. I know. And the one guy, he took a tour of every sitcom from the 1980s where he just whipped it around. That was impressive. Yep.
That was real also.
That was really real. Does this not afflict you the way it does me?
No, I'm actually diving down the rabbit hole with it. Like, let's do it. Let's go.
I was in bed yesterday. And
embrace it.
I was like, I'm going to get up. But first, I'm going to allow myself a little scrolling. 45 minutes went by. And then you're like, not only is the attention span so short between the scrolls, because they're so short, or the reels, but then I'm like, for $1 million, I couldn't tell you the first video I fucking watched. I couldn't even tell you five videos I watched. And I go back and I like, I'm watching them again. We're in such a clip-based economy as a spokesman of Opus Clip on your Instagram and Facebook feeds. Although I don't know if that ad's out there anymore. You know what I've decided with all things? I've decided, did I already tell you about the river? The river's flowing. The river's flowing. And too often in my life, I've tried to stop the river from flowing.
That's all seemingly that you try to do.
That's all I try to do.
On the internet, at least.
Don't be a Cubs and Packer fan. You got to stand up at games. Wear a mask. River just takes me down. Fucking buries me, man.
I thought you were about to sing a song.
Angel Zerpa's out for the year.
Saw that.
I've never been more anti-World Baseball Classic in my life. What a useless, worthless, fake event that was created for springtime television inventory for Fox.
But what if it was created in like the 50s? Like the World Cup was created in the 1920s and the sure. Olympics. That plays for you?
It's a little different. Hey, what if we all played baseball before all the pitchers are ready to play baseball?
That could be fun.
And then Churio got hurt in that.
Correct. Yeah. That event cost the Brewers. I don't even know how to describe how much that event.
That event forced us to watch Greg Jones and Luis Matos.
Yeah, I don't know that it forced as much Greg Jones on us as we received. I think we got a little gratuitous with Greg Jones.
Well,
personally, I don't know that we needed. I don't know that it was that needed.
I'm assuming he didn't get claimed, Grant. So was his DFA? Is he back with AAA? Or
yeah, he remains in the organization.
Fantastic.
All right. Are you done? Do you have any more questions?
First off, you haven't answered the one about the NBA series that goes seven.
And I, yeah. I did. For the record, I did. I said,
Yes. Bart.
I'm really curious to see what the Lakers do tonight.
Yeah.
Did you see?
I think OKC and five.
That Redick's been playing Bronny because it motivates LeBron to play harder.
Brilliant.
Do you love how this playoffs has been a narrative earthquake?
This has been a great narrative-based NBA playoff.
Narratives are just getting destroyed.
Yeah.
The fucking Celtics title looks fake now. The Nuggets title looks fake.
Yep.
The Bucks title looks great in hindsight because we got injured and we're immaculate.
Well, no, it just the Bucks title now just looks more similar.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't need to tear Jokic down. I just would like everyone to stop tearing Giannis down. Like, hey, look at this fucking guy. Like, see, it's not that easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all I've ever asked for with Giannis is equality. Yeah. And he never gets it. And then I'm bitching. And I come off like a whiny little, you know, piece of shit. Because I didn't want to say bitch twice in a sentence. That's just an English language thing I do.
I'm working around that.
A comment on two series. I don't think the Nuggets loss was that egregious with the injuries they had. Like Aaron Gordon's really important to them.
Sure.
I think the Wolves are good. Even when they're missing Edwards, they're still really good. And everyone's roasting Joe Mazzulla. Yeah, the starting lineup was weird, but they shoot too many threes. But just look at those two teams. Like which team looked better? Like, I think the Sixers were better.
Do you like Simmons' theory that they were just fucking around trying to figure out how to beat the Knicks?
Yeah, I also have heard the theory. Someone called in on Bill's show today. I've also heard this in Boston media that Mazzulla heard everyone saying, you need to play the bench more. You need to play the bench. He's like, oh, you want the bench? All right. Like, here you go. Here's Ron Harper Jr. And here's, you know, Luka Garza. And I'll bench Vucevic.
That's a failure on Brad Stevens.
Well, Brad Stevens should not have traded Simons for Vucevic.
Vucevic is dog food. Bucks fans know this most of all because when Giannis sees him on the other end of the court, it's like, I can get 50 tonight if I apply myself.
Yeah, Vucevic is done. He's just done. It's fine. He's been around a long time, but he's done now.
I was just going to say the Cavs Pistons.
Yeah.
I don't care if it will go seven. I'm wondering, are people going to watch more than seven combined minutes of the series? Yeah. And then I think that's not fair. And then I think whose fault is that? Because here I am, somebody who bitches all the time that, you know, if this was an NFL divisional round game, I wouldn't care who the fuck it was. But I have no interest in watching Cavs Raptors. Instead, I'm going to suck the teat of Lakers Thunder. And I bitch about what the NBA does, where it's like big cities, big stars matter. And I'm falling right into it. But that could also be a LeBron thing, which his narratives. And that's what I talked to Carlos the other day. It's not that people are like, because if you're a Jordan guy over LeBron, you're never not going to be. There's nothing LeBron can do. But what I think lately, what he's doing in his 40s, it's got people less able to shit on LeBron to build up Michael and more just to be, I prefer Michael.
To be clear, if the LeBron-led Luka-less Lakers beat the Thunder, that will be a huge LeBron resume versus Jordan.
Yep. No, it won't though. Not if he goes to the finals and then loses, because that's all that people matter. That's all that people care about. It'll be, oh, now he's 4-7 in the finals instead of how did he even fucking get there?
Yeah.
How did he even get there in the first place?
Yeah.
The journey is the reward, Paul.
Mm.
The journey.
Bart, the series that's going 7?
I mean, I guess. I think.
I think Wolves Nuggets or Wolves Spurs could go 7 complimentary. And I think Pistons Cavs could go 7 derogatory. Like, well, one is good and the other is not. You know what I mean?
Like, I've liked the Timberwolves ascension for a long time, but I also think that can go 7, but it can also go like the Spurs could get the next 4.
Yes.
Although people are mad Wemby was goaltending last night for those blocks. Is that the critique I saw?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Grant. The derogatory 7. Like, right. Everyone else is like, give me game 8. And they are like, oh, I hope this goes 7. And then if we got to watch fucking 7 games of Detroit against Cleveland.
And I ask this because I truly don't know. Didn't Cavs Raptors just go 7?
Yes.
Like, no one is celebrating that.
What did Magic?
Magic Pistons.
Pistons. And everyone's like, and that was the same day. It was 2 game 7s of basketball, yeah. And no one gave a shit.
No.
It was Magic Pistons and Cavs Raptors.
Just to say this, I watched this game. The Orlando Magic, up 24 at half in a closeout game at home, game 6, put up 19 points in the second half. 19 points in the second half. They had an 11-point quarter and an 8-point quarter after being up by 24 at half at home to close out game 6 against the Pistons, and did that. It was unbelievable. Truly. Like,
there's plenty of alternate universes where the Bucks are playing basketball this weekend.
I see. I feel the opposite. I watch all of these games, and I'm like, the Bucks are not even playing this sport.
Like, well, you'd have to go back. Like, you would have had to fire Doc.
Oh, sure.
But they just let fucking bygones be bygones. And say, we're going to ram this shit into the ground, you know, before we try to make it better. This is a missed opportunity. Anybody that, you know, I don't know, even the Pacers, but they're going to get, what are we going to get? The 10 pick?
That's the, if the odds play the way they should, that would be what it would be.
I thought about doing a, you know, draft lottery post game show, and that's going to fly on fucking Mother's Day afternoon.
Yeah. But why is the draft lottery in the afternoon on a Sunday? Is that, that's the first time, right?
Well, I think, does NBC have it or ABC, whoever's got it?
I would think it's ABC if it's that. But
does Mark, who's the deputy commissioner? Mark Jones?
I can picture him, but I don't know.
He's up there with his fucking.
Yeah. Grant's miming it, but it actually was a perfect acting job.
This is his thing. This is what he gets to do. This is his day.
This is his day. It's not a Mother's Day. This is his day. Last one, not so much a topic as much as
remember Grant when did. Bill Hall won the game with a pink bat.
I do.
Why'd you put that on your fucking list?
Oh, it's Mark Tatum. We weren't even close.
I was way off.
You had his face down, Pat. So
yeah, and I pictured it because of it. It was yeah. All right, last one. Not a but one. I'm gonna do a challenge for Grant, and then Bart, you can do it after because you'll at least know what I'm talking about. All right, Grant, you've done a lot of reads in your day.
Right? Yeah.
You've been given a sheet of paper and you've said, like, read this. And
yeah.
I want you to be a professional wrestler. I'm going to hand you a sheet of paper. I'm going to ask you to read it. And I want you to deliver this sheet of paper however you would to promote the thing you're selling. And the words on the paper, you get 2 choices. There's a column A and a column B. You can pick one. You can either say backlash or you can say at backlash. That's all you can say. And you have to look into the camera and deliver backlash.
Well, now I gotta play the promo.
I have it ready, just so you know. But I don't want Grant to see it first.
So am I cutting a promo?
No, all you're saying, you get this is
you're only saying at Backlash or Backlash, and you have to say it like a wrestler trying to promote the event.
Yep.
So it's my decision to say at Backlash or just Backlash.
Correct. Yeah, and look into the camera and do it like meanly.
And I'm a wrestler.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're ready when you are.
I don't like looking right at the camera. It's not flattering. Backlash.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay.
Bart, you want to deliver your own backlash before I have it? I can play it or you can play it. I have
one. I'll play the video, but the only one I can find has the Danhausen edit to it.
Oh, here, wait. Let me. Okay, fine. Go ahead. I have it without it. No, do it without the. Let me play the normal one and then you play the.
Well, I want. Okay.
No?
I would say at Backlash. No,
not bad.
I thought it was great.
All right, we're just gonna be. I'm not gonna. Oh, what if you do it? What are you? What? How do you know how to do this?
I'm so savvy. Is it gonna work?
I have to add it to stage or you?
I don't know.
You can add video to my show.
I can share my screen. Is what I'm doing.
So now I'm adding to stage.
Let's see.
And you can press play.
Backlash.
Backlash.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Backlash.
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 Now, Bart, if you want to play the one with Danhausen,
I already closed it. I got to tell you, though, you got to watch wrestling with your kid. It is the only way to enjoy this current product.
You say wrestling as if it's a singular and there's one choice, but... I know what you're saying, but you should be more precise.
Well, I'm ready to get him more into AEW. We watched it a couple weeks ago, and then they showed a recap of MJF sticking a needle through fucking Hangman's mouth. That was sick.
It's an adult product.
Then Tommaso Ciampa, for no reason, sneezes and has blood all over his face. That was fucking cool. He doesn't like seeing blood, man.
Not a future surgeon.
But then WWE's doing these skits where Danhausen goes to Miz's house, where it's like they desperately need laugh track on these. It's so painful without it. Oh, it's awful. And now the New Day's fucking gone.
I love it. I mean, I love it in the sense of I know what's next and I'm looking forward to what's next.
Trying to explain WWE releases has proven to be very difficult.
Did you see the salary increases for the front office at WWE via TKO today? Like Nick Khan went from $6 million to $24 million, and some other guy went from $8 million to $32 million. And this is wild, Grant, by the way. They are telling like everybody except the top four guys to take a 50% pay cut.
Or I'll explain like I did yesterday because most sports leagues in their overhead, half of their profits is going back to their athletes. So the talent. Sure. TKO owns UFC and they like make these guys straddle the line of poverty and then make them fight for their money. They're only getting like 8% of the total profit. WWE is at like 15 to 18 and they're trying to take it down to UFC numbers.
Oh, wow.
So if they want to be a sports league, pay your talent more, but they're trying to strip rights away. Mm-hmm. And then some guys are being forced to like take pay cuts, which if one guy takes a pay cut, it fucks over everybody. Sure. So what do you think of? Do you think of the goose or do you think of the gander?
I even saw the idea today that if WWE keeps doing that, then if AEW previously had to pay X to beat WWE's Y, but then WWE's number goes 50% of what it used to have to beat, well, then AEW's contract offers can be lower by comparison. And now all of the talent is hurt as a result.
That's what's called collusion.
I was going to say cahoots.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the economics of it.
A high tide rises all boats, except when the rich and powerful are draining the bottom of the fucking ocean.
But to be clear, AEW's existence and then success is the reason that contracts for wrestlers improved the way that they have. And now it's being stripped back away, which is very unfortunate. Grant, really nice at Backlash. I thought that was actually very good. And Grant,
Backlash.
At Backlash.
I mean, I'll do it in Wilson Fisk. At Backlash! Backlash!
Backlash.
I lost the impression. Fuck me. All right. Thank you all for stopping into
the Winklerverse.